from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 10. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Saba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no god was formed, nor will there be one after me. Pray with me. Holy God, we thank you for this scripture and this reminder that before anything else you were, and that you have created us in your image, you have created us for purpose, and that each of us bears that image and purpose across generations, across political parties, across neighborhoods. You've brought us together for your purposes, God. So I pray as we continue our time together, our discussion, our learning, that we may see the image of you in each one of us, that we may see the purposes that you have called us to in each one of us. Thank you for Connie and her place in our church and for the words that you have given her to share today. In your name, God, amen.
Thank you, Trevor. So if you don't know me, my name is Connie. For those of you who are online, you are going to be given an opportunity to participate with us today. I'm not having a yard sale. Jason said it looks like this would be a museum, and I said this is just a small piece of the clutter that's in my life. But it tells a story, and I don't anticipate that any of you could see everything up here, but every piece that I have curated for my museum does tell a story. We're calling this third lesson in our series on Bridging the Gap Between Generations, Mapping Your Life. So I will just give you a quick introduction. I was born in Colville, Washington in 1956, but I grew up in Orient. I recently celebrated my 50th class reunion from Colville High School, and I'll explain how we got there pretty soon. But I was talking to a friend a couple years ago, and I said, Bo, I have not talked to you or seen you since high school. What have you been doing with your life? And he responded, which one? And I started thinking about that. That's true. Our lives are not one big, long, jolly, happy family outing picnics in the park and fireworks on the 4th of July. They're kind of a map, and in an attempt to draw that map, you can see that my map of my story is very colorful. Yeah, thanks. That's what it looks like. Roger, awesome. I need to be able to see what you're doing. So this was my attempt to draw it, and it's kind of hard. Deb, can you come up and help me? She should know better than to sit close to me. This is what my life looks like if you get out a scenic map of Washington State. I can hold one side. So the first segment of my life is yellow, and it's Orient. Does anybody know where Orient is? Take division and keep going. If you hit the Canadian border, you've gone 10 miles too far. It's true. That's how it takes people to find Orient. We can just set this on the table. What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through my lives, my many lives. I promise you there's only 10 of them. But the first thing you should know about me is I come from a long line of storytellers. I love to tell stories. I love to talk. Dick Winters, be quiet. I was often in trouble at school because I was always talking. My report cards always said, Connie is a great student, but she talks too much. How many of you are like that? Raise your hands. Who are my talkers? All right. Are the rest of you introverts? Like, great. I hope some of you talkers are mixed up in the tables today. I did this assignment after talking to Bo and thought, I'm going to map out my life. And like I said, I come from a long line of storytellers. I often tell people that I did not have a chance. I'm from Irish background on my dad's side, and on my mom's side, I'm third generation Italian. My grandmother's, my grandma was 8 of 15 Italian first generation immigrants who moved into the area of Orient and settled there. Generations, on my dad's side, my grandmother, my grandma May, was also a talker, a storyteller, a teacher, a missionary. Wherever she went, they started a church. She was a suffragette. She was a prohibitionist, staunch Methodist, and I'm talking Missouri, right? And then you had my grandma on the other side, my devout Catholic. So I grew up a little bit schizophrenic. Actually, what I grew up with was open to many, many ways of seeing the world. And I was a child that was by myself a lot, so you can imagine. When I did get around people, yes, I needed to talk. That's not too different than right now. I will just share with you in a kind of a recap. In my lifetime, I have been in 23 churches for a year or more. I have lived in 19 houses for a year or more. And I have traveled a lot. Sometimes on purpose and sometimes not. So what I'm going to do in way of introduction is just let you know that I have some favorite storytellers in my life. Jesus, George MacDonald, C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, Garrison Keillor, and Dad. Those people have shaped me. I have some of my favorite books from seminary, from Bible school. But anyway, the things that I learned as Connie, growing up in a family as the middle child in rural, ultra-rural Northeast Washington, is that I have a story to tell. And my story is not unlike your story, although you are not called Connie. Anybody in here named Connie? It seems to be a boomer. A boomer name. One of my namesakes, Connie Francis, just died this past week, and I was heartbroken. I don't know if my mom realized that, but anyway, I was named after three Connies: Smith, Stevens, and Francis. So my parents called me Connie. I'm just plain Connie. There's nothing Constance about me. My sister's name is Teria, and my brother's name is Knox, and those are really cool, different names, and I'm Connie. So my middle name was Lynn, and I could never say my L's, and so when they would ask me what my name was, I would say I'm Connie Wynn. And that became Connie Win-Win. Conwin, and if you ever email me, it's at conwin56@gmail.com, and now you know. That's okay, people on, go ahead and mail me if you want. I always have the right to pass. Anyway, my family was a family of travelers. My dad got cancer when he was 65 years old and had about 3 years with us, and one of the last things he did was he got in a car and went on a road trip. That is not unlike my dad. He got a friend to drive because he could not drive anymore, but they went to Texas and back to Tennessee and up to Marshall, Missouri. And I learned to drive fast by watching my dad, by watching my mom. Yes, if you've ridden with me, I know. It's hereditary, what can I say? The other thing we have in common in my family is music. Anybody like music in here? I love music. I have soundtracks playing for my entire life. Yes, Connie Francis, who's sorry now, is one of those on my playlist. That's really random, right? Because my dad played country music 24/7. Country, 1510 KGA. That's right, Deb grew up in Davenport. She knows that radio station. So, I have some things in common with my dad. I love to drive. I love trees and deer. And on a Sunday after church, after we had our, roast beef or whatever our special meal was, we'd hop in the car and drive up to Canada. That was 5 minutes if Dad was driving. It should have been 15. Anyway, I just want to tell you, I've had a colorful life. Not just because of the map, not just because of all these colors up here, but I've had a great life. And I'll tell you what the critical piece of that is. Jesus has been present in every moment of it. Every single moment. Even when I did not recognize his presence. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to get out of the way. I just want to tell my story and maybe prompt some other people to think about their story and where you have been in it. Thank you that you love each one of us. And as Trevor said, thank you for reminding us that we are created in the image of God and that we all are your children. Amen. So, 1910, Orient. Let's do Orient. Should be a schoolhouse. That's a really bad picture. I'm going to tell you really quickly. That building was built in 1910, the same year my grandmother was born, Grandma Elda, who later cooked when I was a child going to that school. I did not get to have kindergarten. You know, in your survey, you were asked, did you get to go to preschool? Did you go to kindergarten? Did you go to first grade, right? I had no kindergarten. Instead, I would go up to my Grandma May's house up on the Kettle River, up at Rock Cut. And Grandma May taught me my alphabet while we made cinnamon rolls. And she taught me, are you ready for this? The Palmer method of cursive writing. Anybody else spend their 4 and 5 year old years making O's to the right slant? Yeah. If you know, you know. If you don't, I'm sorry. I can demonstrate later. We can get Jan or Mike or whoever else to raise their hand. So Orient was a place where everybody knew everybody. I used to say if you counted Dent Henderson's cattle, there was maybe 100. I was the only child that lived in Orient of my age. And like I said, there was no kindergarten. So when my sister went off to school, I just kind of hung out. I walked down to the river. I played in the river. I swam in the river. I am a child of the river. I am a river child. I have lived on a tributary of the Columbia River or the Columbia River my entire lives. So I want to show you, I think the next picture should be the river. That's my river. Has anybody ever been to the Kettle River? It's worth the road trip, really. Just 395 division, keep going. So the Kettle River was my first life. I learned that Jesus loves me by going to my church service. Was small. The person who played the piano was also my school teacher, right? So church, school, community was all connected. I had a firm foundation of faith. I always knew that Jesus loves me. I sang that song every Sunday, regardless if the rest of the congregation was singing something else. Jesus loves me was the three words I hung on to and still do. Like if anything else fails you, just go back to Jesus loves me, right? All you people that teach children, you get those three words down and you're good. But I will tell you, the first time I became aware of someone other than little Connie Win-Win, was one time, I'm sure I was 5 or 6, my parents were taking me into town, we were in the back seat, probably all three of us in the back seat, no seat belts, going into town, and I looked out the window and I noticed that the moon was reflected in the river. At that point, it was the Lake Roosevelt, maybe 5 miles north of the bridge there at Kettle Falls. And I thought, well, that's so weird. No matter where I go, that moon is. I must be very special. And then I thought, wait, maybe there's something out there that's bigger than me. Like, maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's about God. And, I mean, I grew up in church, so I thought, well, possibly that would be the case. So I grew up on the river. I'm a child of the river. And I have a river of life flowing out of me, right? Makes the lame to walk, all of you that love to sing and do dances, whatever. So that was my first awareness of something other. Now, we have a question for you. You have 2 minutes. I have a timekeeper. And she is tough. She's going to give you 2 minutes, so share fast the question that's on the board. Go. You just got the whistle. So if you found out that there was somebody taking up all the time and you didn't get to talk, that means next time everybody talk faster and the person who did not get to talk gets to talk on the next question. So, hey, My next stop is Colville, Washington. We move the 34 miles down the river, cross the bridge to the big city. Let's see. Oh, see. When we used to go to Colville as a child, guess who thought the mountain was for them? I was not an egotistical child. I was just a normal human child developing. And when I found out that stood for Colville, I'm like, oh, I guess I can share the mountain. And then the cross, that was the view from my mother's and father's house. You're right, Helen. Helen, how many of you grew up in Colville? Let's just get it over with. Okay. It's true, and Debbie spent summers there. I'm sure we were at the pool together. So the sea used to be totally above the cross, and the cross was above the sea. They didn't move the sea, they moved the cross. We're not gonna talk about that. But outside my mom's kitchen window, and I say my mom because she was always in the kitchen cooking, you could always see that. And in the winter, that was lit up. Not all the time, because it required electricity. But our family went to a new church. We were no longer at the church where everybody sat around and everybody knew everybody, and we all kind of listened to the clunkers sometimes when Ruth Lakin was playing the piano. We would sing out of the hymnals and all of that. Now, oh my gosh, now we're at a church. Wow, you guys. That's a boomerang if I've ever heard one. Jeff, thanks for that. So I am not easily distracted. Yes, I am. So I grew up in, when I was nine, we went from this really cool community church where I had my staunch Methodist grandmother and my not staunch Catholic grandmother. And I was at the Methodist church, old Methodist church, where it was long and dark, and I always sat at the back because the pastor scared me. He would crawl up into this tall, tall, tall pulpit, and he would pound his fist, and he would talk about God. And I'm like, where's Jesus? And we sang songs and hymns by these people that, who are these Wesley people? I don't even know what that is about. But I was fortunate in that we had VBS, where we got Kool-Aid and cookies, right? Always did, just like in Orient. Ah, that's cool. And I love my Sunday school teachers, and I love my friends. But I went from a town of 100 to a town of about 5,000, and all of a sudden, the little chatty Kathy became quite the quiet introvert, afraid to speak. I was confirmed at age 12. It was the same year that we got out of that old drab building with the dark pews and moved down all the way down Elm Street across from the high school to the Colville United Methodist Church. And it was United Methodist that year because that was the year they united with the United Brethren to become the UMC. That was the same year I was confirmed, which meant at age 12, I said, yes, I believe Jesus loves me. I went through the catechism, I did the drill, and I was totally convinced that I would live my life following after God, but mostly interested in Jesus. And I will tell you really quickly, my grandma May, that fast driving woman that she was, figured out that I was getting bored around the time I was 14, 15, 16, and I was tired of counting the tiles in that new building. And she said, Conwen, let's go to Orient. And I'd hop in her Buick Wildcat wow, that boat just cruised up the road. And I would get all my friends, and we would go back to Orient, because there we would talk about Jesus. Very important to me. My first job was in Colville, Washington. I was a soda jerk, and I'm sure you all know what that is. If not, I'm sorry. Sorry you don't know. I was a cheerleader. I somehow came out of my quietness, and the thing I did when I was a soda jerk, I made $1.12 an hour, and every single dollar went to whatever my mom and dad said, you have to pay for it yourself, or music. I'm pointing to Chicago. I have been a fan of Chicago since 1970. So I bought records, 45s, and then later progressed to albums, and I bought clothes. Kind of liked clothes. That was kind of fun. So if it wasn't for my grandma and her desire to make my story live, I don't know if I would have survived as a teenager. So let's go. 1, 2, what's your question? Go with it. This should be a fast one. I think you only get 1 minute for this. 1 minute. 1 minute, Deb. Go ahead, the next picture. Do it. Do it. Deb. The car has now moved down the road. We left Colville High School in 1975 and moved to Spokane, the really big city, like so big, because I was going to go to Spokane Falls Community College, and I did that. In 2 years, I did 2 degrees. I did a transfer degree, which is an AA degree, if anybody knows, and then I also did a 2-year degree in early childhood ed, and it was about that time that I met Mary Fuller. Love to call her out. That's how old we've known, how long we've known each other, forever. I loved being in college. I loved working. My first work-study job was in the library. That was, I know, Becky's clapping. I love the library. That library was quiet. And I could just talk to myself all day long and, you know, nobody answered. By the time I graduated, I had, in 1977, like I said, I had 2 degrees, and I was ready for my first job. I was hired by the state of Washington to work at Spokane Falls Community College as the early childhood education liaison. So I started working at the college. Like, seriously, you guys, I got my first JCPenney's card that year. Still have it, thank you, platinum, or whatever. I loved working on campus. I loved being in the setting. I worked with students. I worked with the children. It was the greatest job. And then somebody said, well, you really should go get your bachelor's degree. And so I chose to go to Gonzaga. Hey, Gonzaga was not the Gonzaga you think of now. We were not the Zags. We were the Jesuits. and I was the only female Protestant in a class of all Catholics for Bible. And yet I loved Bible. Got so hooked on Bible that at the end of the semester, Father Nigro, who was a shirt tail relative of ours from the Catholic side, said, "Connie, I think you should go into ministry. I think you should go on. I think you should study." And I said, "Yeah, I think I should too, but I don't think I want to do it as a Jesuit. I'm going to follow Jesus," which was so rude for me to say. But anyway, yes, thank you for catching that. I decided I needed to do something different, but I wanted to learn about the Bible. Like, I felt like I got this children's thing down. And in 1979, I was kind of like looking around and trying to figure out what I wanted to do on the river. Now I'm on the Spokane River. What's my next bridge? What's my next place to go? And a friend from my church here in Spokane said, "Hey, I went to George Fox." And I said, "Who's he?" And she said, "You don't need to worry about who is. He's dead. But there's this really cool college in Newburgh, Oregon, and you should go." And I said, "Okay, I think I will." And I'll tell you what was my confirmation. I was laying out by the pool, because that's what I did in the summer, and I got a packet in the mail. And the, you know how they do admissions packets? There's always a logo, a promo. Right now it's Be Known. But that time it was Let Fox Build Your Bridges. What? Right? I'm a child of the river. I need to know where to go. I'm going to George Fox. So I had to say goodbye to that cute little B-52 bomber co-pilot from Fairchild. And I moved to Newburgh, Oregon. I was 23 years old. Let's see what your question is. You have 1 minute. Go. I'm sorry, for whom the bull toll has belled, or the bell has tolled. I don't know, we just lost our dinger. So, I can see you. So, 1980, I moved to Newburgh, Oregon. Now, I will tell you, my intent at Newburgh, Oregon was to finish up my year and a half, get my bachelor's degree in Christian ministries, and move right back to Spokane, Washington. Right back. And I got so hooked on the Bible classes. The Christian ed stuff was kind of becoming a little bit boring. I mean, I'd already done it all before. And I really loved the Bible classes. We had a teacher there named Cyril Carr, who had just got back from Hebrew Union and had a doctorate in Old Testament. I was like, wow, there's just so much about Jesus in the Old Testament. And I took every class I could from him, even though most people tried to stay away from him because he was so hard. And like my goal was to just, if he taught whatever, I was taking it. Took the writings of John from Cyril Carr. When I was at George Fox, I got to get in a bus with a bunch of other people, and we went to see Keith Green at the Hudson Bay High School in Vancouver, and two of the songs we sang earlier were Keith Green songs, my favorites. One of them will be played at my memorial service, whenever that is. There is a redeemer. So Newburg, I had that summer, instead of coming home, something happened in 1980. What was it? The May of 1980. Everybody in Spokane said, "You're moving next to a volcano?" And I said, I am going to take a risk, and I'm going to go to Newburg, Oregon. And that Sunday morning when that baby blew up, I got nothing, folks. Nothing. You all got the ash, and I drove up to Bald Peak and watched it all just go directly away from me. And I went, Jesus must really love me. Oh, wait, that sounds a little arrogant. That summer, after the ash was all up here and you guys were digging it out, I got to work in my first summer camp ministry. I had gone to summer camp as a child, but I got to work at Camp Tillicum. Tillicum means friends in Salish. And that was my first exposure to day camp. During the day, I got to do canoeing and teach archery, grokking, do all kinds of fun things. And at night, I was a soda jerk.
Dancer.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. No, I did not dance. But I was so buff back then because I was running, swimming, hiking, jogging, doing the big swing, that's a large swing we'd put children on and go out into the trees. And I got hooked on summer ministries. And I thought, this stuff is really fun. This is good stuff. I feel like I can see Jesus here. I was living on the Willamette River, by the way. Do you know what the Willamette River flows into? The Columbia. Thank you very much. So at George Fox, I was ready in 1981 to go home. I was like a month shy of moving. And guess what? I got recruited to go to seminary. Seminary? What woman would go to seminary, especially in the particular denomination I belonged to then? There was 150 men and 5 women, and I was one of them. That was one interesting life. Let's see what your question is now.
Thank you.
Time's up. How hard was it to say, I've been at a Free Methodist Church since the summer of 2022 or whatever, right? So here's an interesting river. Who can name that river? What? It is the Jordan River. So when I got to Portland, I actually had to do a change of clothes here. My mother understood how uncomfortable I was being in a group of men with their briefcases and their suits. They were pastors and chaplains and married and had children, and here I was, this little bebopper, and I was a little bebopper. My neighbor called me La Petite. He was from Jamaica, man. And I loved getting to know all these people, but I was gonna get my 2-year degree in Christian education, and I was my master's, and I was gonna do what? I was gonna go back to Spokane, and now I'm going to open up my own child care center, only it's gonna be a school, it's gonna be a Christian school. And I now understand everything there is to know about child development and teens and humans and adults. And I got to live for free on the campground on the Willamette River, literally on River Road. It was River Road, Milwaukee was the address, Portland. I was there for 3 years. Yes. This was a rough time for me. I was trying to be everything and do everything, and the anxiety, the stress load in my life was killing me. It was crushing me. I was trying to do 3 jobs because in exchange for having a free place to live, I got to work as a children's director at a church called the Mox Crest Church up in North Portland. So every Wednesday and every Sunday, I basically lived in North Portland, but I still had all my homework, and I was working at Mr. Steak. Anybody know Mr. Steak? So anyway, not good times. The anxiety, yeah, I was that person who would be talking to the people and give them the wrong steak and then go back and go, oh, no, too late. So I was really happy when I got so paralyzed by the stress of trying to measure up to all these men that I actually had a breakdown. I was sitting in the library, and my roommate Diane came in, and she said, Connie, you're supposed to be in class. And I said, oh, I wondered where everybody was. And she said, what's going on? And I go, I can't move. I don't know what to do. And I was in tears. And she said, I'm going to take you to the doctor. I've had bouts of, back in the day, in the 70s, they called it melancholy. I was one of those introverts that loved to write. I loved to do poetry. This was not that. This was medical. And when I went to the doctor said to me, you need to cut out 10 hours of life every week. 10 hours. And I went, oh, good, Mr. Steak, gone. And it gave me great joy to go in and announce to them that I would not be working there anymore because I had doctor's orders. But I loved Hebrew and Greek and hermeneutics. Yeah, you guys have heard about hermeneutics from me before. You know, IBS. Hermeneutics, inductive Bible study. I was going to get my 2-year degree and got bored, almost quit, didn't quit, stayed in school and decided to switch majors, which meant I needed to do another year. And part of that, doing my switch to biblical studies, is I got to go and live in Israel for a summer. Actually, it was late April into May, and I got to live in one of the homes, and it was, believe me, it was not a tour. It was for seminary credit. We were there with people from all over the world, and it was a great experience for me. But when I came back, all of a sudden, the instructors were asking me to be their teaching assistant. So I was now helping teach hermeneutics, and I was teaching Jeremiah, and I was doing the classes that I love the most. And I realized, oh, I guess I kind of do like to teach. Maybe I should finish that master's in Christian ed. And so, yeah, thank you for getting the humor of that. It took me 3 years, but I got 2 master's degrees. And in 1984, I was so excited because I was going to graduate. And I was going to move to Spokane. Let's see what your question is. If you saw the whole thing, it's the article my mom put in the paper up in Colville that I graduated. So anyway, move on to your question. You get 2 minutes for this one. I'm giving you 2 minutes for this one. Talk faster. 2 minutes. Hey, when we're done, you can always stick around and keep talking. We belong, the building is ours, you know. So one of the things that happened when I was in my seminary years was during that time of depression, one of my other neighbors, we lived in all these little cabins on the Willamette. One of my neighbors, a really sweet heart of a guy named Jim Brannon, was from Austin, Texas. He looked like John Denver, sounded like John Denver. Far out. I mean, seriously, when I was depressed, he sent me a cassette reading of Isaiah 43, 1 through 10, but he changed the words. Instead of, "Oh Jacob, oh Israel," he put my name in it. And I've written my own version of that. James calls it the CLT. That's Connie's Living Translation. But for somebody who talks a lot, this is what I hear when I read that passage. Now you listen to me, Connie. I am talking now. I am talking to you. This is personal. I am your creator, Connie. I am the one who formed you, Connie Lynn. Don't be afraid or anxious. I am your redeemer. I paid a full price for you. I call you by your name, Connie, because you're mine. So don't be worried. When, not if, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. The rivers will rise, but you will not drown. When, not if, you walk through heat and flames, you won't get scorched, and I won't let those flames consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am Jesus your Savior. Now, you don't have to have master's degrees to write your own version of Scripture, but I want you to know that this word has been ever present in my life, and it meant a lot to me. And in 1984, I was going to go home to Spokane. There was a young man who had been in my life since 1970, and he was ready for me to move home, and we were going to get married. And then I took the wrong road on this bridge. Anybody know this bridge? The Blue Bridge over the Columbia at the Tri-Cities. If you get off that bridge, you end up in Richland. And I committed to 1 year doing a church plant in Richland. And while I was there, I was very, very unhappy. The one thing I can remember about that year, I tried to put on black just to tell you how depressing it was. I was a single woman in a church without any other single people. And the highlight of that summer, I think, was the Summer Olympics in L.A. And so that's coming back now, right? This is the year they're coming back to L.A. I will tell you that I met with my friend Russ and I said in Richville, and I said, I know I'm really depressed. I hate being in Richland, but I made a commitment. Can you wait? And he says, well, I've met this girl. I've met this woman. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. And he goes, no, and we'll see what happens. I'm like, okay. That was the end of October. Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, I was at the Bible bookstore, and a man came up to me and asked me if I knew Roman numerals. And my first response was, who's so stupid? They don't know Roman numerals. Yes, you know, those two master's degrees kind of made me a little bit, well, anyway. We ended up dating, and that following year, we got married. So if you're all wondering, did she ever get married? Yes, she did. I married a man that wanted to go into the ministry. However, he had a child from another marriage. And when we met and got married, I stuck it out, finished my 1 year commitment, and then I left. I left that church, I left that denomination, and it was one of those bridges I kind of wonder sometimes, should I have crossed that bridge the way I did? What was the trajectory of my life, and how did I handle it? I don't know if I handled it the best, but let's ask you guys some questions. Go for it. I know that you want more time, but we need to get to the end of my story so you guys can spend more time. I spent the next 3 years in Wenatchee. I was our first Sunday there as a blended family. I had a five-year-old daughter named Casey Ann. We went to the Free Methodist Church in Wenatchee, Washington, and that Sunday they were starting a blended family ministry. And I went, oh, I think we belong here. Right on the Columbia River, during that time, we had two boys. We had, so along with Casey Ann, who was born in 1980, we had Josiah Christopher and Glenn Andrew. Andrew, because I was teaching the Book of John to a group of singles, and love Andrew. Every time Andrew comes around, he brings somebody to Jesus. So that was great, having children. I was 27 when I met my husband, 28 when we got married, 29 when we had Josiah, and 30 when we had Andy, and 31 when my husband decided he needed to go to seminary. So I went back to seminary, and I'm not sure. That's the beautiful Wenatchee Valley. We left Wenatchee, I loved Wenatchee, and we moved back to Portland. Portland 2.0, let's go ahead and go to the next picture. There we go. I love Portland, but in 1988, I was there not as a student, but I was there as the wife and the mother, and my job was to put hubby through, which meant I worked at an express, part-time express, which means I demoed Umpqua ice cream and stuff like that. And then we were at the Gresham Church, and in 1990, they sent my husband to Centralia. And Debbie and I have some overlap. I'm just gonna call these the difficult years, and I'm just gonna move through. So we went from Portland, which I loved, to, let's go to the next picture. I don't know if I have any pictures. Oh, here's me putting hubby through seminary while he was getting his degree with three children. That happened in 91, and then let's go to the next picture. The first year we were there, we got to get a ride. We lived on the Skookum Chuck, which is not on the Columbia, but it eventually goes into the Pacific Ocean, and we got to have our children get out of a flood. That was our front yard. That's I-5, and across the street are the outlet malls. And because we didn't know any better, I said, let's get out. The neighbors are getting out, but my husband said, no, we can ride this out. Being that he was from Richland, he knew about water, I guess. But here we are, loading up in the National Guard truck. There's just so much going on in that picture. I love it. That's kind of what is a symbol of how I felt about Centralia. It rained and it flooded. And in 1992, we went on to Woodinville to start a church plant that failed. And in 1993, we were both ordained. I actually have a copy of that, because I know some of you wonder. In 1993 at Warm Beach, I was ordained as an elder in the Free Methodist Church. In 1994, I started working as a pastor on staff at what was called North City Church. It was the first time I had ever been paid to be a pastor. I was also the oversight of the child care center there at the church. But God told me I needed to slow down. And in 1994, guess where we moved? What? Yes, let's see, Roger. There we are. This is my whole family in 1998. They all got to go to, they graduated from Meade High School. We were in ministry here from 94. We were at Timberview, Opportunity, First Church, first time, a Fairwood Community Church, several Nazarene churches. And then in 2013, my husband decided that he was going to choose to marry a different woman and said goodbye. So I had been working at the college, and my life was a bit rattled, as you can imagine. I'm like, what? We've been married 30 years. We've been almost 30 years. And yet, it was time. It was time. And it wasn't my choice. But God did some amazing things during that time. I continued to work at the college and retired in 2019, 25 years at Spokane Falls. I know one thing about my life story. Every person who I've met who loves Jesus will be in my life forever. We cross paths, we go in, we go out. But one thing stays the same, and that is Jesus and my love for Jesus. And I will close with this because I think we have one last question. Let's see, I have this idea. We're gonna close. You're gonna get to break and then come back and answer that question if you want to, or at least take it home and do it. We put paper out there so that if you wanted to, you could map your life, and you don't have to do it as a map. You could do it as a big ball. You could do it as a trivia board. I don't care. But I want you to do, go to my very last picture, Roger. I want you to do some reflection. I told you my story. I mapped my story. You all have a story. And the assurance is our stories, for whatever reason, look around this room, look at the people at these tables. For whatever reason, God has brought us on a path where on July 20th, 2025, we get to worship together. There is a Redeemer. This is my story. This is my song. I am going to ask Trevor, somebody, going to come up and close. Take paper home. Do the assignment. Go grab some food. Come back and share with the people your question. Go ahead and back up one. Does your life look how you expected?